peace. That's what the world is calling for today, and I find it most ironic that when the BLM is demonstrating in the world's cities, they are crying for peace as they burn the buildings and demonstrate violently. The opposite is hatred. And it all started back in the Garden of Eden. All was well. There was perfect peace as Adam and Eve lived in harmony with the Lord. That word peace, Irene in the Greek, means perfect harmony or harmonious relationship between God and man, between man and man. The peace of God. It was the byword of the day before the serpent came on the scene. Adam and Eve yielded to temptation, and immediately peace was lost. We know this because when God came down to the garden to have his daily visit with Adam, Adam hid himself, ashamed, afraid. Peace was lost. And with the first child born, Cain, he was born in sin, born with hatred on his heart. And when he worshipped God and was not accepted by God, he became angry. And because his brother Abel was accepted in his worship, Cain killed Abel. And since that time, hatred has reigned all through history. 6,000 years of history has proven that there is no peace. But Jesus Christ came, the Prince of Peace. And he said in John 8:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Notice, not as the world giveth. The world seeks peace. The world wants to give peace, but it fails. It has to, because it's not of God. So we ask the question, when will this happen? Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. When would this be? Well, I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 10. We read, "Many days and years shall be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come." That's in verse 10. Drop down to verse 15. "This will all happen until the Spirit be poured out." Now there's an interesting phrase, "the Spirit be poured out." We read about this in Joel 2:28, which was quoted, by the way, at Pentecost in Peter's first sermon. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." Who does the pouring? Well, we find in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist is baptizing with water. "But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He," and that is Jesus Christ, "shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Altogether, Christ will give Israel peace. But when? When the Spirit is poured out. Peace cannot be achieved by man's efforts. Wise as man thinks he is, manipulative as man thinks he is, Christ will give Israel peace. But when? When he takes away the law and gives Israel the new covenant. That's future. In Hebrews 10 verse 9, "Then said he, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." The law must be fulfilled. The law must be taken away. And then peace shall come. Then they shall have peace when the kingdom is restored to Israel. In the meantime, yes, even during this age of grace, men seek peace. But as long as they reject God, as long as they rebel against the Holy Spirit, as long as they deny Jesus Christ as God, there is no peace. Remember in Peter's second sermon, a week later after Pentecost, in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, he talks about the restitution of all things. "Then he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." Restoration. That's in Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. In the meantime, all is on hold. It's all put in abeyance. During this age of grace, during this age when God is no longer dealing with Israel, God is no longer dealing with the law, God is dealing by grace. So today we want to look at peace from two realms. There's the peace with God, and there's the peace of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, one of our often quoted verses, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Israel and the kingdom looks for peace. The world clamors for peace. But we, as Christians, have the peace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, and again, from 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A new creation, a new nature. We have the peace of God because we're justified by faith. Without the deeds of the law, we're saved by grace through faith. We have peace with God. Shall we say we're reconciled to God by the death of his Son? Reconciliation means peace restored, a harmonious relationship with God. We live in harmony because God has made it so, forgiven our iniquities, forgiven our sin, that we might be made righteous in Christ. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what? The peace of God. That's the second thing we want to look at today. The peace of God. In Colossians 3 and verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Notice that word let, a very common word in Paul's letters. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let all be done decently and in order. Let. I can't do it. Try as I might, I have this nagging hatred in my heart for those who oppose me. If they don't agree with me, I don't like them. We don't like to say it, but I think we feel it in our hearts. We have enemies. Man was at enmity with God. God had enemies. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, the God of peace. God is a God of peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And when we read, when the Holy Spirit's poured out, the restitution of all things, Christ will reign as the Prince of Peace. The work of the Holy Spirit is peace. You notice in Galatians 5, 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what's next? Peace. When we receive Christ as Savior, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. The Holy Spirit identifies us with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and peace reigns. Or should. Does it? That's why Paul said to the Colossians, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Of what? The peace of God. Available. We have the ability to have a harmonious relationship one with another because by the grace of God we have a harmonious relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the peace of God. So we have this in Philippians 4. Let the peace of God rule. Be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. The peace of God, notice that phrase. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Peace shall reign. Isn't that what he said? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. A very common word in Paul's letters, for we are to be spirit-led. How many understand the reality and the purpose of the indwelling Holy Spirit? In Romans 6, verse 14, we always read, we're not under law, we're under grace. If we're under grace, then the grace of God should rule, and the peace of God should rule. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. There's that word let again. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. And why not? Because you're not under law. If you were, sin would reign. As long as Israel was under law, sin reigned. As long as the world is under a legal system, man's law indeed, sin reigns, because man cannot agree with man. But grace should reign. Let the peace of God rule. How can we do it? Let the Holy Spirit do His work in your heart. Understand the person of the Holy Spirit. Understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Understand what He wants to do in your life, in your heart, in the real you. You know, we're saved by recognizing our need and the will and ability of Jesus Christ to save us, so we receive Him by faith as our personal Savior. We're saved by grace. Well, don't you think we ought to live by grace? Just as we were saved by recognizing our need and the ability of Jesus Christ to save us and provide that need, let the peace of God rule in your heart. We still have a need, don't we? Hatred still wants to raise its angry head and ruin our harmonious relationship with others. Let's face it. We still have hatred in our hearts. The peace of God is not ruling. It should be. It can be. If we let it, let the peace of God rule. How? By the Holy Spirit. We're called in one body. In this room, we are all fellow members of the body of Christ. He is the head. He's the one who wishes to dictate every thought and intent of our hearts. He's the one, the Prince of Peace, who wants to have peace rule in each heart, so that we might have a harmonious relationship one with another. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if you read on, He humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, so that you and I might have life, abundant life. Be thankful for what God has done in your life. And let it be so, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not the devil have his way. Let God be true. Don't trust man, trust God. He's the only one who can bring that peace which passeth all understanding, which will keep our hearts and our minds by means of Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen.